Are there any citizen comments? If you want to make a comment, why don't you just step up and have a seat and identify yourself with your name and address, and try not to exceed 5 minutes.
Yes. Okay, my name is Bob Hashimoto, Colonel of the United States Marine Corps, retired. My address is 3930 North Pine Grove, apartment 3001 in Chicago.
Can you speak up a little, please?
Pardon me?
Can you speak up a little?
Sure. I'm here tonight to read a brief statement on of gratitude to John Simmers of 11713 212th Avenue, Bristol, Wisconsin, 53104, has written to the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors Finance and Administration Committee. John is also here tonight. However, as we've previously explained, that while John has some unpredictable or unmanageable limitations for speaking well, and in particular to these circumstances, and that John really wants to assure his message is clear, I've agreed to read this for him. Also, while John has authored this statement, I would especially want you all to know that the sentiment of his gratefulness he expresses here is also the same that flows from to you, from myself, and other of John's friends. So here's what John has to say. I would like to express my thanks for the recent work and diligence that the committee undertook to the county, Kenosha County Board of Supervisors, passing the ordinance and resolution that provided my path to regain the tax deeded property which I previously owned. I'm here tonight as the deeded owner of that property again. In trying to find words that could both succinctly and entirely convey my gratitude to this end, I've realized that it's been the journey that has provided me particular value to the result. When I initially brought the matter of my tax deed property to this committee a few months back, I had an expectation that there would be attention given to my situation. However, while that did happen, it came with a heightened level of concern and interest from the committee members that I did not expect and was unrelenting. I appreciate that. I never doubted that there was support for my cause, and I appreciate being given the opportunity to address opposing concerns during your meeting. This was very important to me and something I did not necessarily expect to have, so thank you, Chairman Rose, for recognizing me and allowing my contributions. And thank you, committee members, for listening. As the process continued over months, members were consistent to encourage my understanding and to assure me that there was progress. I have to mention that in the time it took to reach the present result of my issue, from mid-November 2019 to early February 2020, I found the range of business undertaken and completed by this committee to be remarkable. In one meeting I attended, you undertook decisions on issues regarding a multi-million dollar agreement that will return tax deeded acres of land to the county's tax roll. You then turned with equal diligence to the matter of the ordinance related to my issue, and somewhere in it all, the committee also considered and approved to recommend adopting the resolution of our Migratory Bird Day. I think what I'm saying is not just thank you for what you've done for me, but thank you for the outstanding work you've done and what you will continue to do, acting in the best interests of our county, and we are in good hands. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there further citizen comments?
Will you just play that on a loop? So somebody can say that we did something good.
Further citizen comments? All right, seeing none, are there any committee reports? And the minutes are with you, and do you have any additions, corrections?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item number six is the CABA fourth quarter report.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Brock Portillo, Finance Director from Cobbler, here to report on the fourth quarter loan activity. Go through this pretty quick. There's not a lot of new things to add from previous quarter. A lot of the things that I reported on in the third quarter hold true today. Go through quickly on the EDA loan disbursements. Those were disbursements made out to the Five Star Coatings Group and the Kitchen Cubes projects that I've previously reported on. Below the line, the $710,000 that's approved and still pending. Those dollars pertain again to remaining funds yet to be dispersed to Five Star, Kitchen Cubes, and we've also approved a loan to Nexus Pharmaceuticals that I think everyone here is familiar with, the pharmaceutical company building a brand new manufacturing facility out in Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. On the county revolving loan fund, the only new activity there is $104,000 was dispersed, if you drop down to the next page, to a company Form Machining. That was a small machine manufacturing CNC machine shop that was acquired out in Bristol during the third quarter with pretty aggressive growth plans. So that helped acquire the equipment within the building. On the CKC fund, nothing new to report there. Again, this fund is currently frozen because of the CDBG closeout program. I don't have a whole lot of new information to report on this. We're still working with the state on possible solutions for this closeout, but for the time being, we can't administer any new loans out of this fund. All we can really do is continue to service the loans that are currently outstanding in the program. Lastly, on the high impact fund, no new loans were administered. All of the existing businesses that were recipients of the high impact fund remained. The $750,000 that is pending pertains to the $250,000 to Silgan Containers, and $500,000 was awarded to Nexus Pharmaceuticals. So those have both been pledged, approved, everything, just not funds out the door yet at this point. Other items to note for us, just kind of some bigger ticket items. We're going through our financial and single audit right now this week. So soon we'll have a financial audit that I can report to the committee on our status. The single audit is where they go through and they test a lot of these federal our loan fund compliance items, specifically focus on the federal funds. So of course we'll share those results with the committee when they are available. Salem Business Park is starting to pick up some speed. We've got some more interest there. We're hopeful that we can pop a couple of these and soon and to be able to report to the committee, but it's nice to see some more interest out in that, out in the western part of the county. Other just recent wins to note, Herzing University has recently announced plans to relocate into the downtown, where that'll bring about 600 to 700 students here into downtown Kenosha. CABA helped assist in writing a grant for the WEDC that they were recently awarded a $250,000 grant to help assist with that project. Kroger, you may have seen recently, that was announced. They've announced their plans to develop a 350,000 square foot fulfillment center in Pleasant Prairie. That project is out near, they acquired 58 acres out near the old We Energy's power plant there. But that's a very large project, over $100 million of capital investment, and that is projected to employ over 400 full-time jobs once it's completed and ramped up. The last one I wanted to note, which was recently announced, Trifinity, specialized distribution company. They were a Waukegan, Illinois-based company that recently inked a lease on a 250,000 square foot building that was built on spec directly adjacent to kennel manufacturing, so near the old dog track site, Business Park, Kenosha. That project will bring approximately 50 to 60 jobs to Kenosha County. With that, I'll stop and answer any questions.
Yeah. It sounds like we're still getting a lot of activity and inquiries. How do you match up our current activity to previous years?
So, I think I mentioned this last time. I think the...
I don't have that kind of memory.
Or last quarter, I'm sorry. Okay. But the volume of activity, I think, stays strong. What we're seeing is just kind of a longer lead time on some of the deals. What that is attributed to...
But we're still getting the calls and the activity.
I mean, the pipeline is as strong as it's ever been. I mean, we've got a number of very active deals. I'm hopeful I can report on some of these soon. As you know, you've seen it. Some of these deals just take time to get across the finish line.
Thank you.
Yep.
Further discussion? All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Next item is the resolution to approve the appointment of Nancy Kemp to the Library Board.
Good evening, hello. Chairman Wells, Supervisors. Looking for approval of Nancy Kemp to be reappointed to the Kenosha County Library System Board. Ms. Kemp was unable to be here this evening. This would be a reappointment to a 3-year term. She has attended the last 14 of the 18 meetings held with excused absences.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, then the next is the Tom Santorelli to the Civil Service.
Yes. Santorelli is here this evening.
I'm here if anyone has any questions.
Oh. So we're looking to reappoint to a 5-year term to the Kenosha County Civil Service Commission for Mr. Santorelli. He has attended 21 of the last 22 meetings of the Civil Service Commission.
Okay.
Sergeant. He missed one?
All right, discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you for serving.
Thank you.
We'll move on then to the number 9, Public Works Kemper Storm Damage, and Matt, you're going to do that?
That is correct.
All right.
Good evening, Chairman Rose and committee members. You remember from last month, after you graciously approved my International Migratory Bird Day, you requested for me to come back and give a little bit more updates on that January 11th storm damage at Kemper Center, County Park. So if I could back up, and please look at the photos behind you or in front of you, depending on your angle. The county executive and the board and these committees had the foresight 5 years ago to know we had an issue over at Kemper Center. This is something that we knew was a long-range plan, and I presented to this committee a couple times when we went after grants through the Wisconsin Coastal Management program. And we were successful 2 times, which helped offset probably over $70,000 for us to have a strategy, a long-range plan to do more repairs along the revetment of Kemper Center. So fast forward to what we dealt with this last month or so. You can see photos that was done by our engineering firm before, because of course when we got green grass over there, and then after is where it's all tore up immediately after our storm. Because we had the study, the engineering all done, it really put us in the best possible situation to make claims for FEMA. If we just had the storm event, it would have been very difficult for myself or my team to be able to put a monetary value on the amount of damage that was done over at Kemper Center. It would have been a scramble, and maybe FEMA would have just said, you don't got your ducks in a row, where you got the actual valid data to back up what we see in person. But we had the data. We had how much coast was actually lost. We had estimates as far as what would be needed, the cubic yardage of material that was lost based on survey, aerial photos, insight photos. So we went in swinging pretty hard when we had our meeting with the state agencies that oversees FEMA, as well as FEMA representatives that came in a few weeks ago. And not only did we have an in-person meeting over at the EOC where we went and went through the data sets, but we had an on-site meeting. And the word that I heard most from FEMA folks, which just means a lot from FEMA, is this is impressive given the magnitude of damage along Kemper Center. We had over 500 linear feet of our multi-use trail damaged. Some is just completely missing based on how much erosion actually occurred along that corridor that is parallel to Lake Michigan Corridor. All 1,500 linear feet of shoreline, that's basically undersized concrete, riprap material, got thrown over 50 feet in some sections onto our green spaces. Our parking lots were full, not only from the flooding, but the debris that we already had to start to remove. That's a good picture if you stop right there, Yasmin. And even if it looks fine from the top, that's the undercut and the scouring that had happened when the wave is over top based on our depleted shoreline. So what we did is we had a substantial presentation in this binder. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, I promise. But we had to present all that information to our friends over at FEMA along with these pictures. And we had a preliminary assessment of $1.1 million in damage. And how I can better explain that is FEMA wants to know not what it would take based on our study and design and engineer plans to do upgrades. They don't care about upgrades at this point. They want to put Humpty Dumpty back to its original state again. So they want to put the original type of riprap, like medium-sized rock, back in there. We know that's not good enough for Kemper Center. We've already came to that conclusion. But they don't care at this point. They just want to know what that estimate is to put it back to that pre-storm condition. By doing so, we came up with that $1.1 million for the bike path and the shoreline where it was more specifically damaged. After they actually went out there, I told them flat out, these are very conservative numbers. Can we include this? Can we include that? And they said, you can include your whole shoreline. This is all screwed up. So we scrambled and had that data available where we increased our actual ask to FEMA to $2.1 million. You don't usually see FEMA or anyone else saying, no, you need to increase your number. But we were very strategic in our approach and didn't want to ask for everything right away, because then they're going to start throwing it out. And that's the wrong way to do business with FEMA. You start small and you start asking from there and you grow it. So now we're at that $2.1 million in our request for FEMA funding, which did get approved. Governor Evers sent the letter over to the president to make that declaration. It's in the president's hands right now, and he needs to authorize that in order to have FEMA have boots on the ground and for us to strategically think how to repair our shoreline long term. So after, and if and when, and that's an if, because there are some times that presidents do not sign those documents for whatever reason, but we think he will, but I can't play that guessing game. If he signs that declaration, FEMA comes back, and then it's more of a mitigation that we can try to back in and see if we can actually get the shoreline done properly with the assistance of FEMA. In order to do that, we need Army Corps engineer, DNR, our engineers, to supply substantial data and qualifications and permit requirements why we can't put that small stone back in there, because it's not going to stay in place. It's not a long-term fix. It's going to fall back out. We're going to be claiming a FEMA fund again. So those types of validations we have, we feel confident, but it's going to be still, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic going through the process, because we just don't know this. This is my first time going through it. But I feel confident that we're in the best position possible to get as much FEMA assistance as possible going through this process. And if you read in the paper, I think we should be proud being Kenosha County at the level that we're at right now and what we're asking, because we have that highest value as far as what has already been accepted. So that put us in the best position.
We have what?
The highest value claim, the most amount of money for that damage. So maybe that's not something to be proud of as far as the most damage, but going into FEMA, that's a good thing that they're able to supply us that monetary threshold moving forward.
What are we looking at a time frame for him to sign it?
This is just rumors, but what do they call that? Super Tuesday is coming up with elections.
Yeah, I think he's going to sign it. I mean, I may have to call him, but we'll get it worked out.
You could.
Yeah. Good luck.
But so those are just speculations. Okay. So we don't know.
Good luck.
Here, just a quick.
Yes.
Somebody told me there was that there had to be a total to FEMA for like $8 million in damages before they'll pass out any money. Is that some kind of number you that they threw around to you?
It's not. There is. I think you're correct with that minimum threshold. There's a minimum threshold of just over $600,000 and some change for Kenosha County to meet our minimum threshold. Every county has a minimum threshold based on the 2010 census, so they back into it per resident, and that's where they get that monetary value. And that same thing with the state on that census. So you can do your isolated county that you have to meet minimum thresholds to be put into the state level, into that bucket. And then from that bucket, you need that $8 million threshold to be put in that federal bucket, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right, Ron.
Have we moved anything back now? Have you done some temporary work to shore it up?
Partially, yes. We've cleared up the parking lots, both next to Anderson Arts Center and the main Kemper Center. We've used bulldozers to start to stage material. We've bermed to create temporary protection with that rubble on more of our open spaces. So we're trying to strategically move at a level that we make sure we take care of safety as a primary. Now it's kind of cleanup efforts. And because of the temperature, actually, we got lucky that we were able to do some stuff in our grass areas, but then it got warm. And you don't want to use a dozer in these warm areas and make more mess and disaster. So now that's freezing up again, we're going to continue to pile this debris up and then kind of just do what we can internally, track those costs. Those are fees that FEMA will reimburse if this is declared a disaster. So we just track all that stuff and do what we can internally until we have to get contractors involved for the actual substantial work that needs to happen.
All right, further discussion here? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Next is a resolution on a grant from Land Information.
Good evening, Chairman Rose. Good evening, committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today on this budget resolution. My name is Scott Schutze, the Director of Division of Land Information. This resolution before you is to insert a $40,000 grant into our 2020 budget. It is being asked of you right now because at the time we developed our budget last year, while we knew the grant was coming, we did not know the exact amount. This will simply be $40,000 into the budget and a corresponding $40,000 in expense for the purposes of a public works mapping initiative. This expense was authorized by our land council, which has oversight over the use of these funds. This has no levy impact, as it's $40,000 in, $40,000 out, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Move to approve. Second.
Discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you. I hear no levy impact.
Sheriff's resolution.
There we go. Here to ask money.
Got something good to say.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee. We're just here for a budget modification resolution. The Sheriff's Department has been awarded a grant totaling $24,650. That's funded through the state DOJ. It's for incident-based reporting. The federal government is mandating the change of crime statistics, how they're reported, from UCR, which is uniform crime reporting, to incident-based reporting. We're working with Kenosha Joint Services and Tyler Technologies to build and configure the necessary modifications to our current management software. So
basically it's just no extra tax dollars, no levy impact. Again, just increasing our revenue and increasing the expenditures.
Move to approve.
Second. Aye, discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
And Corporation Council resolution.
Chairman Rose, members of the committee, the resolution before you gives you an option at your discretion, given the ordinance that was adopted by the county board, to offer a remedy to John Prill, whose home was taken by tax deed in August of this year, of 2019. And he did object timely to that, and he is here with his attorney, Mr. Santarelli. They would like to have the opportunity to redeem the property. I did talk briefly with Attorney Santarelli, and my understanding from that discussion is that the facts of this case qualify it for consideration. By that I mean it is a homestead property. It is not encumbered with any mortgages, liens, or judgments. It was not taken in rem. And there's been no prior exercise of this remedy. The objection was timely. So as far as I am aware, all of the requirements of the adopted ordinance are in place for this committee to send it to the board, if it so chooses, for consideration of redemption post-tax deed. The amount of that redemption is something that Mr. Prill and his attorney are aware of. It's $25,827, encompassing the taxes themselves, the interest and penalties and costs involved in getting to this point. And I know Attorney Santarelli and I believe Mr. Prill are here. If the I believe they are available if the committee has questions, but that's essentially what the resolution is about.
Good question. I noticed that the tax bill for 2019 was in Kenosha County's name, because obviously the property was tax deeded. This $26,000 includes this year completely?
I believe it does. I think it's the payoff through February. It's the
county
February
2020
payoff. I'm sorry.
You have the sheet that I gave to finance?
Yes, because it lists the 2019 general tax at $4,919.22. So I believe that's included.
Yes. These are the total amounts. What wasn't included is what the outstanding amount to the village of.
Okay.
So this is the end of February payoff. This would be.
All right.
Okay.
So I stand corrected. The amount is actually $26,308, because there's also a Village of Twin Lakes sewer utility charge and the $30 register of deeds recording fee. So it's actually slightly higher than I indicated, but it does include the 2019 taxes.
Okay, so that includes the Twin Lakes getting their second installment too, right?
Well, that includes all of 2019 and Twin Lakes sewer utility.
I move to approve it.
Is there a second?
Second.
John, can you just put that in the resolution or put it as an attachment to
the board? I can certainly attach this document.
That sheet.
Okay. The detailed information.
Right. Just a question.
Yeah.
As we did the other one, is there a time frame?
Yes,
On the resolution too, or no?
You mean on the redemption?
For the redemption time period.
Right, this is the schedule. If the county board approves the offering of this remedy, he has 10 business days, or 14 days by the calendar, unless there's some holiday I'm unaware of, to come with that amount of money to the clerk.
And are you prepared to do that?
The attorney indicates that's the answer, yes.
Further discussion?
And this is a one-time thing, so that if we fall behind with taxes again, we're not going to be able to do this again.
That's part of the resolution.
By ordinance, it cannot be offered as a remedy again if you should fall into a tax fee.
All right.
I don't think.
Thank you,
John. Back again.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, are we ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It passes. And then you'll attach this to the resolution.
I'll attach that. And I don't know, would you like me to go? Okay, thank you.
This is it.
That's the total number?
Yes.
Bills there, looks like they're all signed by everyone. On department reports, are there any from human resources? Nothing? Finance?
Yeah, we have a general fund year-end forecast. There should be one in front of each one of the committee members. No, that would be the one following. So in the normal template of how I compare the forecast from the last meeting in January, so the items that would cause an increase of the general fund changes, material changes from last month would be the sales tax revenue surplus projection is up $148,000. The miscellaneous category is up $143,000. The workers' comp insurance surplus is up $150,000. Public works operating expenditure and revenue surplus is up $200,000. And in human services, their projected surplus of $350,000 is now there. Projecting a break even, so that's a negative $350,000. In the next category of items causing a decrease of the general fund, there's just a slight deterioration of the projected health insurance deficit from $800,000 to $900,000, so $100,000 decrease, and then the liability insurance deficit going from $200,000 to $325,000, so $125,000. So overall, there was just under $100,000 decrease of the projection for the general fund. We're still just short of $8 million over the county board, 17% minimum of general fund expenditures. And in the box at the bottom, we're still over 28% overall.
Although it did go down a little bit again.
It did smidge down, yeah, go down a little bit.
Discussion on this? Any other reports? All right. Is there anything else to come before the committee?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
I don't see the sheriff.
Yeah, it's like vacation. You look tired.
To offset the county board.
It's a long day today.
Kind of shackled.
They're going to donate one of their trucks for cash so we can get new cars.
We saved the cold weather committee.
Yeah. 71 to 11.
He never gets old, does he?
That's coming back.
Not for me, it doesn't.
Thanks for thinking.